Well, let us pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rest of the last night. We come together again in fellowship, prayer, worship, and study. Bless this time together to learn from your holy word and from each other, and make our time together holy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
This morning, I always take a little time for my own quiet devotion time, and I receive various daily devotions from different organizations which I use in that time. This morning, one came in from a devotion called Brother, Give Us a Word. This is from the Society of St. John the Evangelist out of the States. And the word for today is, any place where we withdraw to meet God in prayer is a place of secret encounter and reward. Here we come to know God and to know ourselves. Here we come to recognize our disordered attachments, to do battle with our most persistent temptations, and to grow in the virtues of obedience, humility, and love. I couldn't have imagined what a better devotion for today. As we continue our journey through Romans chapter 12, this is truly a place where we've come together as brothers in Christ. It is a place of prayer and wonderful songs. It's a place where we come to know God and to know ourselves, and to also recognize those things in ourselves that maybe we need to work harder at, to deepen our faith. Maybe some of those things we need to throw out. So this is what we're going to be looking at today as we continue through Romans. Now, for those again who are following in their Bible, the verses are Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. And my version is might be a little different than yours. I'm just going to redo verse 1, which we're going to continue with in this session. So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So I'm going to ask Dave Golding, he's going to write down just a few more words out of that passage.
I'll try not to make spelling errors.
Yeah. So what I'd like you to write on there, Dave, are some words that we're going to touch on. And the first one is present. We'll talk about that in a moment. Living sacrifice. Yeah. Okay. Oh, haven't stopped yet. Holy and acceptable. Just put holy and then the word acceptable. As he's doing that, just a comment. I cannot believe how much there is in these two verses from Romans. So much of what Paul is trying to teach and to help us to understand what it means to be a Christian. Two simple verses, and they're so easy to read at any given time and just, oh yeah, and you continue on. But this is truly it's a gift when we have an opportunity to dive deeper and to pick at the words and to see really what is Paul trying to say to us. So holy and acceptable, and then spiritual worship. And that'll be the last one. Spiritual worship. Yeah. So within the rest of this time of this session, we're going to be trying to touch on those points right there. So living sacrifice, how we present ourselves, holy and acceptable, and spiritual worship. Now, just in case the fun of last night and the sleep, we've forgotten where we came from yesterday, I just want to do a very quick review. So, Paul transitions in chapter 12 of Romans, as we said yesterday, from doctrine to duty. What does it mean to live the Christian life? And it's from belief to behavior. So now, the important part about being a Christian is that it's not all up in here. Somewhere it has to go from the head to the heart, and then from the heart out to the living, how we live our life. You know, so that whole idea we hear in James chapter 2 of faith and works. It's great to have faith, but we need to live it out in the world. And how do we do that? How do we live our lives worthy of those mercies that we talked about yesterday, the gifts of God that he gave to us, that grace, that love, that forgiveness, that compassion, the gift of Christ who died on the cross for us? How do we respond to what God has done for us in Christ? And today we do that. So to put it another way, Paul encourages us now to go from theology, all that thinking stuff, into a type of walkology, to live out our beliefs, to live out our beliefs. His thesis, if you want to call it, Paul's, is that our beliefs should impact our behavior. So does that? And that's a question I'm going to throw out right now, and you can think about it as we go along. Does your faith impact your behavior? Does your faith make any difference in how you live your life? Or is it just something that you know, you hold on to, it's just something you grew up with? Or does it truly make a difference in how you live, relate to others, how you speak, how you work, how you love? Does it make any difference in your life? So today we continue through the verse 1 of Romans chapter 12 to look at what is our response to the God's gracious mercies and gifts to us. We start off with Paul challenging us to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, to present. And although Paul isn't saying this is an exhortation as an imperative, that he talks about it as something that we need to understand. So how do we present ourselves? And it's interesting he says present, because in the Bible he could have said to yield or surrender ourselves. But he doesn't. When you talk about surrendering yourself, you're talking about giving up freedom. You surrender yourself, right? You're being held captive. But God doesn't hold us captive. We do have free will, and we do have the freedom to love back and to give back. So Paul says, present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, to present. And what that implies, to present implies a glad, a happy, willing offering of ourself. So think about that for a minute. It's about presenting ourselves with gladness, to come to the Lord with joy and gladness in our hearts as a willing offering of who we are. And when you go deeper into that, why should we do that? Not only for the graciousness of God, as we heard all through Romans 1 to 11, as we built up to the point where he then goes and says, therefore, right? But God created us. We are loved by God, formed in the womb, called by name, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent out into the world to do the work of Christ. And all these wonderful gifts and the grace of God, we give ourselves back. We come together in joy. In the same way we give to our partner, to our spouse, to those we love, we give of ourselves with joy and with gladness. We present ourselves. In the same way when you give someone a gift, right? Give someone a gift, and you give it with joy. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And when you do that, when you give someone a gift, you bought someone something that maybe you've saved up some money for, and you've put aside a little bit of time, and you buy something special, maybe again for your wife, or for a child, or for a friend, And you see their, you know, the joy in their face when they receive it. That's about presenting. And when we give ourselves to God, God smiles. There is joy. Because it's not from being forced. It's a freedom. It's an offering of ourselves, presenting ourselves with joy. And God is asking us when we present ourselves to be full of life, to be creative, to use our gifts, our abilities, our ideas, to make the world a better place. This is all about that gospel living we talked briefly about yesterday. To live in the world very differently. As I heard some discussions yesterday after the first session, you know, that phrase of we're in the world, we live in the world but not of the world. And that is very much what we're supposed to do as Christians. We are in the world, but we're not to live as the world tries to force us to live. And we'll talk about that later on when we talk about do not conform to the world. So the key words that we have right now, living, holy, acceptable, and it's all based on giving of ourselves as a sacrifice. And that living sacrifice, what does that mean? Okay, this is a word we heard. This is a word that maybe some of you have been trying to come to understand as Paul talks about it. And again, yesterday we talked very, very briefly about sacrifice in the Old Testament and as well as other pagan countries other than Israel. Sacrifice was about presenting something usually for an atonement of sin, or maybe it was to appease an angry God, perhaps. Right? To appease an angry God, they would sacrifice something. Or there's the threat of a flood coming, or to stop a potential disaster of some kind, they'll sacrifice something. It's all about trying to gain a favor. It's all about trying to be forgiven, atonement. All these various parts of sacrifice, but they're all part of death. Something has to die. Something has to die in this type of sacrifice. And the sacrificial system that Paul grew up with and was still around him at the time of his life, of course, it was a dead sacrifice. But as we also know, and we heard in Romans leading up to where we are now, Christ died once and for all for our sins. His blood was shed. We hear in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, shed once for all. And there's no need now for a dead or a dying sacrifice. So now Paul is saying to us that we need to come to God as a living sacrifice. The giving of ourselves in a way that is different. Our sacrifice is who we are. All of us. All of our being. Our mind, our heart, our strength. You know, we hear Jesus say, quoting from Deuteronomy, to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. This is what it means to give our whole being back to God. And to live our lives worthy of those mercies that we heard. To give back to God. And to do so, to be holy. To be holy means to be set apart. To be set apart from the world and to belong to God. So I'm going to ask a question right now and I want you to think about it. How can we be holy? How can we be set apart in a world that tries to define who we are? You know, you'll hear people say, oh, you Christians, and they go on and something, right? How can we be a holy and living sacrifice to God in in our current world, in our current situation, or even in your own families that may not have the same belief that you have?
I think you've just got to stand up for God. And I do it at work. And then when they come to know that, they label you as a Christian, but I think you have to identify it. Yes, I am. And that's it. And then it opens the doors to a conversation. Why?
Okay. Any other?
For myself, going through a transformation over the last few years, I learned that any form is a form of worship. Being mindful of what I watch on TV, what I'm listening to, and then by dying to that type of nature that I used to have, then I've seen, my kids look and see that in a family setting or other people out there. Continual,
So you set the example. You set the example and make a difference.
To be as Jesus Christ.
What was that?
To be as Jesus.
To be as Jesus Christ. Now, what would that mean to you? What does it mean to be as Jesus?
To delight in goodness.
Goodness.
The goodness of God and the goodness of what he gives us and the goodness of others that is there in the way that God has given them gifts.
Right.
To be humble.
To be humble. To be humble. Did I see you, Paul? Anyone say? Anyone else?
To surrender your old life. To exhibit the behavior that Christ wants to see in us.
Right.
And not to hang out with people that will bring you down or pull you back to where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfulness. So to be holy, holy doesn't mean in how Paul is talking about, it's not about the pious, I'm holier than thou. Mm-hmm. Of course, the minute we say I'm holier than thou, well, we're not, right? And there's always the risk when we try to see ourselves as more holy, we start looking down at other people. And that's exactly the opposite of what not only does God want for us, but that's not what Paul's talking about. We are to be defined by the fact we are different. So to be holy, to be sanctified, in a sense, in the biblical word, we're preparing ourselves. We prepare ourselves to encounter God. You heard in the Old Testament where Moses was told that everyone needed to prepare themselves for when God would speak to them from the mountain, right? Or any kind of encounter. Prepare. Or the elders needed to prepare themselves. So it's preparing in the mind and the heart, entering into that relationship with God in a way that opens the door, takes away the barriers. And then people see something different in us. To be holy isn't about piousness. It's about walking with God. And some of you already mentioned that. And to display the kindness, the love, the compassion, those elements of what we believe is godliness or righteousness. But living it in a way which is just part of who we are. You don't have to be clergy. You don't have to wear special vestments and collars and all that. That's not what makes you holy. What makes you holy is in here. It's about moving from the heart of stone, we hear in Ezekiel, to I will give you a heart of flesh. And that's what transforms us. And when we become transformed in here, there's a radiance that comes from us. Have you ever seen that in some people? And they're the quiet workers in the church. They're not necessarily the ones up in the front. They're the ones who live a life of quiet and faithful devotion. And when you meet them and talk to them, you sense something different about them.
The glory.
The glory. That glory, that presence of God is with them, right? Those quiet saints, which we will talk about tomorrow, being All Saints Day coming. That's a holiness. And each of us have that, but we don't always let it shine. Sometimes the world crowds it all out. And we, again, we'll talk about that as we move into not conforming to the world. But to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And acceptable, again, that builds on an Old Testament concept of that sacrifice. A sacrifice is pleasing to God. Sacrifice is pleasing to God. But not a dead sacrifice, but that living sacrifice. You're holy and acceptable to God. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21, now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing to do his will, working in us what is pleasing before him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Through that grace, that love, that eternal life, and that hope that we receive through Jesus, we are equipped. We are equipped to do the work of God. And all of that is pleasing in the sight of God and makes us, in the words of Paul, that acceptable living sacrifice. So how do we want to live our lives? How do we want to encounter the world? Ultimately, it's up to us what we do. But the example we have is in Christ. The example we have is before us, but we just have to allow that to transform us. And that's again what Paul is trying to talk about in our passage. We will be transformed, we will be made new, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But all of this, to be a living sacrifice, to be the men you can be, is in response again to those mercies of God and the sacrifice of Christ for us. And the wonderful thing about it is nothing we do has earned it. And nothing we can do will gain us any more. We've already been saved by Christ. And all we're asked to do is to continue to live our lives worthy of that wonderful gift. Any comments or thoughts on that? Anybody?
When you said acceptable, I was thinking it's not only acceptable to God, because if the way you present yourself, we'd have to be acceptable to the person, which would show your holiness. Because if you go around and thump fire and brimstone onto somebody who's a non-believer, they're going to do that, they're going to back off. So you have to present yourself in such a way that it's acceptable to them, too.
Right.
Which calls for obedience to what God wants.
Obedience to what God wants, yeah.
Well, you already, when I was a salesman, you learned that you had to sell yourself. Well, when you sold yourself to people, you were yourself.
Right.
And I think that's what we call be ourselves.
Be yourselves, yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying regarding surrender. We surrender also as a stop to what we used to do, and we're surrendering to God's will. Mm-hmm. At the same time, like I was mentioning, we're yielding to the Spirit, so the Spirit then is taking control and leads that way and guides our path, right? So we don't have to push ourselves on other people or anything like that. Just be still.
Right.
Gentle.
And I didn't set him up for this, but my next little point is, it works really well, Al, that sometimes what our prayer needs to be, or prayers to God, is to take my life and to direct it. Take my life and direct it. Let God be the master of my life. Take my feet and show me where to go. Take my eyes and show me what I need to see. Take my ears and show me what I need to hear. When we allow God to direct our lives, as you were saying, we become that new creation that we hear. And Revelation 21 talks about the world as a new creation, but we are a new creation in Christ. We've died with him, and we've been raised with him. We talk about that in our baptism. That through those waters of baptism, we begin a new life. We die to our old self, and we've been raised with Christ. So we are new. But there's that part of us that the ego, if you want to use that psychology term, the ego that doesn't want to believe in it. The ego keeps telling us, no, you're still the same old John or Paul or Fred or Greg or Al or Warren or David. And the world sort of echoes all that too. How many of you, when you've come to Christ, and you tell people, and with the joy that you have, and they look at you and they say, oh yes. He's lost it. Yeah. But then they also say,
They ask you questions.
And can we respond in a way that shows that we have entered into a new life? Or is it then we just accept Jesus and we keep on walking what we've been doing before? The one thing that hurts the church is not the outside world, actually. It's usually the people in the church. The outside world actually does watch what we do. They're always watching. Don't think they're not interested. Because the minute something happens in a church, like some scandal, boy, it hits the news like that, doesn't it? The world is watching and is very critical. What the world needs to see is that is a love that is real. That we're not just preaching and not doing what we teach and speak about. Churches within themselves need to be that true body of Christ that we're called to be. And again, this is what Paul was trying to get at. He was dealing with a community that was, there was this infighting between, again, the Jewish Christians, or the ones who were from a Jewish background that turned to Christ, and the Gentiles that came to Christ. And there was this interaction and infighting that was going on. Within our own churches, we don't always portray the love of Christ.
Amen.
Unfortunately, we are our own worst enemies. Now, I'm not trying to say this as a coming down on anybody, because we are human. And by the grace of God, God still loves us. And we are loved. But we need to work through all that stuff. We need to get past the negatives. We need to start seeing that cup as half full versus half empty. And it's so easy to be drawn into a dark place as we hear churches are closing, amalgamations are happening. There's so much uncertainty going on. And the world just looks at us and just goes, ha. And the devil just looks at us and smiles. Because it's interesting, we don't need anything from the devil to cause any dissension. We do it to ourselves. So Paul is saying to us, get beyond all that. Live as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Holy and acceptable. And when we do that, those around us change too. There becomes new life. And I hear of churches that are growing. There is a joy. There's a presence and movement of the Spirit in them. And I'm talking about Anglican churches. I'm not talking about the other churches. When we allow God to work in our lives, when we allow the Spirit to direct us, anything can happen. For in all things, all things are possible for God. Are we willing to, in a sense, to surrender, but not surrender, I don't mean in that way, but to give our lives to God so that we can present ourselves in a joyful, and uplifting way to God and to others? That's a question that we need to sort of work on in our own lives. So we go on about, as we continue through verse 1, about spiritual worship. Spiritual worship. The actual word in the Bible is it gets translated as spiritual, but the real word is reasonable or logical. And some of you may even have reasonable in your But it comes from the word of which is logic. So it's reasonable. When we have received all these graces and mercies of God, it's reasonable. It's logical to then present ourselves in a way that we live our lives in a worshipful way. But let me be clear, it's not about worship in the sense of the singing that we do and the prayers. To live our lives in a spiritual, a reasonable, worshipful way is how we present ourselves. How do we present ourselves to God? Ongoing. To present ourselves is to offer ourselves, our whole being, as we were talking about. Now, I wanted to step back for 1 second before I continue on there and just go back to living sacrifice for a moment. Living sacrifice, as we talked about, is a giving, but it's not a one-time thing. Living sacrifice is about a daily giving of ourselves. In Luke 9, verse 23, and Jesus said, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." It's about a daily living, a daily growing. Because when we become Christians, it doesn't just end when we say, "I believe." When we are baptized, it's not the end. It's a beginning of a journey. When we turn our lives to Christ, it's a daily, constant giving of ourselves and growing and giving up and taking on. As Jesus says in Luke, we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow him. There are going to be challenges, there are going to be struggles. But the joy of what we receive from Christ is what propels us forward. Everyone here knows that passage about denying themselves, taking up their cross daily. How do you understand that? In light of being a living sacrifice, how do you understand that? And so, and I do want you now to take a few minutes and just turn to someone next to you, or if you're like three of you together, if you could just take just a few minutes and just talk about that for a second. How do we hear those words of Jesus in light of being a living sacrifice, as Paul's talking about denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him daily? So just take a few minutes of that. Wow, good discussion now. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Okay, now just quickly, would anyone like to share just a couple of quick thoughts that came out of your discussion? Anybody?
I will, if you'd like. We spoke about the little things, like, you know, if the cashier hands you the wrong amount of money, to give it back. Mm. You know, if something that you decide that you're getting, you go put it back where you got it from, you know, just leave it there. Or, you know, simply just putting a cart back where it belongs instead of it hitting another car. You know, those little things that hold us accountable.
Right.
It's setting an example.
Right. And actually, a discussion I was listening to, it was about the cross. And the importance of what does the cross say when you wear a cross? You know? you go from the extremes. For some people, it's just a piece of jewelry. But for others, it's about being held accountable to whose you are and what is your faith. And when you wear a cross, you really are being watched. And how you live your life is so important. What comes out of your mouth, what you do. Whose are we? And do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable? Any other comments? Yeah.
I put down on share your gifts and kind of look out to see who you can help during the day, every day. Mm-hmm. Look for opportunities to serve Christ.
Right, and actually, I'll be going into that in a few moments. Yes, really.
This gentleman, I shared a condo with a guy once upon a time, and he didn't know the Lord, never seen the Lord. So I said, "Well, there's an evangelical church over here. I'll take you over to it." So I took him in there. Three different times I took him, and so then he started going maybe another three or four times throughout the entire year. Then I got into a conversation with him, and he turned on me, and he went, "And I'm still skeptical, you know." And I thought, whoa, like I've done my bit. And my point is, he wasn't willing to surrender self. And self is Satan. So he wasn't willing to surrender self to Christ. And on the topic, I just couldn't get through to the guy. Anyways, I left it with him. No, he passed on. He passed on. And
you sowed a seed.
I sowed a seed.
How about one more? Just one more thing. Anyone? Yeah.
I once had a fox test page that I'd used for testing foxes with customers.
Yeah.
And on this page was a beautiful picture of the sky, not unlike our banner up there. And on it were the words, "Were the world would be a much better place if we acted the way we believe."
Right. If we acted the way we believe. Yeah. And isn't that isn't that what Paul is trying to say here? So again, I'm just going to go through that first verse, and we're going to continue on. And we're going to touch on spiritual worship to sort of finish off this session. "So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Which is your spiritual worship. You've got to think of the words there. So being presentable, to present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, is your spiritual worship. That is your spiritual worship. Now again, we get so caught up in the word worship, we think about Sunday mornings, or we think about what we do before we start our session. But presenting ourselves to God as that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, is our spiritual worship. That sort of blew my mind when I sort of got deeper into it. It's one of those verses I've read before, and I just would go on and I would never really think about it. It's our worship. And again, as I was mentioning earlier, the word worship, or sort of the spiritual, really can be used as reasonable or logical. And again, some of you have different versions of that. But the whole idea that is what it means to worship God. To worship God isn't about, and those who love the prayer book, it's not about prayer books. And again, it's not about necessarily gathering on that Sunday morning or whenever. It's about an every moment, living, breathing, giving of our lives to God. That is our spiritual or reasonable or logical worship. And it's the only response, as we go deeper into how Paul is thinking, it's our only response to those mercies of God. all these wonderful things that we have through Christ, that have been given to us, that have been achieved through the life of Jesus and the cross. We give back ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, because that is our worship, our reasonable, our spiritual worship. It's about our feelings, our inward thoughts, our aspirations. It's about our words and our deeds. It's about who we are. Do we live up to this? Do we live the faith that we say we believe? And how do we live that faith out in the world? You know, it's not unusual to hear of someone who is a very active person in the church. They might be one of the top volunteers, one of the top givers. They might be, you know, maybe they've been a warden, maybe they've been a committee leader, maybe they've been head of the Sunday school, whatever it is they've done. And then you hear that they're ruthless in their business place. Mm. Anyone ever hear that kind of thing? Or you hear through rumors that they're pretty nasty at home with the wife or spouse. It's the other, it's not always the men.
Having affairs.
How often do we hear that kind of thing?
Too often.
Yeah. So being a believer is more than just saying, I believe, but it's about being totally changed within and living the life and that faith that we believe and claim to profess. So, kind of a question I just want to also throw out. It's more to think about. If being a Christian, we're supposed to grow into that sort of stature of Christ, right? We're supposed to grow and be more Christ-like in our lives. Again, it's not about the pious perfectness. It's about living our lives in a way that is life-giving, right? It's life-giving. Can we say that when someone looks to us, that they can see that we are Christian? Now, I do know there's various understandings of what it means to be a Christian. You know, for some it'll be you never drink a beer. You know, those are more of the rules and things that's not what makes you a Christian or not, but it's what comes from here. So how different am I today? If I look at my life, and we all have lived our years, we all have been in church life in some way or another, lay person or clergy. If I look back, let's say, over the last 5 years, 10 years, am I different today in my faith? Am I different and how I live my life? Has that changed at all over the last several years? Have we allowed God to work at us, to chip away at us, to soften that hard heart? So just think about that for a moment. I'm not asking you to share with your neighbor, but just think about it. I want you to think about that. Oh, Paul?
Yeah, it's a holy and acceptable. And the word holy,
yeah,
bothers me, because I know that I'm not holy. I'm a broken person. So how do I interpret that holy and acceptable? I know I'm acceptable, but the holy part.
But holy, again, it doesn't mean that we're perfect, and it doesn't mean we have it all together. You talk about being a broken person. I think we're all broken in one way or another. We're all needing to be built up through the Spirit. To be holy and acceptable, I think in the terms that Paul's talking about, means again to walk a path that is the path of Christ, to be open to the work of the Spirit, to live the best we can the life we profess in Christ. That doesn't mean we've arrived yet. I mean, faith itself is a lifelong. It's lifelong. I mean, even Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, more than just about love and all that stuff we hear at weddings, right? But he also goes about, we see in a mirror dimly now, but one day we will see. Even Paul was not there, right? He wasn't there. He was still a broken person, but he was a person who was filled with the grace of God. You know, he would talk about himself being the least of the apostles, least worthy, but we can still say he was holy in that he was allowing God to use him and form him every single moment of his breathing life, even though he wasn't perfect.
That phrase to me tends to mean directed to and with an ever-loving God, always acceptable.
Always acceptable.
You're direct. Yeah. You're holy in that you're directing to God, mm-hmm. and he is reciprocating and acceptable.
And of course, God is always holy,
yeah.
right? And we try to reflect that holiness in our own lives. We strive for it. Our life is one of striving. But Paul is going to challenge us. He will constantly challenge us to live holy. We can never live as God. We can never live as Christ. But to reflect that. To reflect that. Greg?
We'll be taking a small group in a moment, and I'm just wondering, the phrase that kept coming to my mind as you talked about how you live is the hymn, they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Right.
Because we're reflecting God's love.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Thomas of Assisi, who said, spread the gospel, and if necessary, use words.
Yeah.
Oh, it's necessary.
Yeah.
That
yes.
towards people, towards your customers, your suppliers, mm-hmm. your staff, that's what really tells people whether you're a follower of Jesus.
Right. Because words, yeah, we could say what we could say anything we want. But there's also a lot of people that don't even, are not out there saying that I'm a Christian, but they're living their lives as the Christian that they're called to live. They're not out there in that boastful way, but they're living it. And tying into that and something that was said just a few minutes ago, so how do we present ourselves and how do we live it out as that spiritual worship or reasonable worship or living our lives made me think about Jesus talking about being the light and the salt. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You know, when he talks about, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And that's what the spiritual worship is all about. It's not hiding the gifts you're given. It's not giving up what you have, but it's being out there. It's about the kindness, it's about those words, it's about expressing our faith in every moment and everything we do, every part of our being. And by doing that, we give glory to God in heaven. And that's what Paul is moving us towards. It's about using the gifts we have. 1 Corinthians 12, and I know we don't have much time now, but the variety of gifts in the same spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. We all have gifts that we were given. Do we use them or do we hide them under that basket? Right? If we're going to truly be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, of which the outcome is the spiritual worship, we are to use our gifts or to be that salt, to be that light, to be out in the world, to be active, to to be out beyond the walls, to be doing those good things that need to be done in the name of Christ. Let us just finish with a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, you have raised the bar for us this morning. You call us to allow the Holy Spirit to direct our lives, that we may be a true living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Help us through your Holy Spirit to guide us in all that we do, to not hide our gifts, to work in the world, to be your hands, to be your eyes, to be your ears. May this truly be our spiritual worship and gift to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.